This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all on this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things God is showing me as I search to know what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast or email info@botfpodcast.com. And today we are here with Jessica Long, which I hear is no longer just Jessica Long anymore, is it?
Yeah, I got married. First off, thanks so much for having me, but I got married in October, so it's winters.
Awesome and exciting, and it's probably been a really big learning experience being in quarantine as a newlywed, I am sure.
It has definitely brought different challenges, but at the same time, we've had this unique opportunity to get closer, cook dinners, go on walks, just spending a lot of quality time together, but it's been really great, and I'm really thankful to be quarantined with my husband, so...
So Jessica is a Paralympic swimmer with a lot. You have a lot of medals. You've been in four so far, right?
Yes. Yeah. Four Paralympics.
And then you're training for the next one then, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was. Life is unpredictable, and it's been, as we all know, just times of uncertainty and what's going on right now in the world. But I was training really heavy for Tokyo 2020, which is now 2021, which is wild. I never thought they were going to move the Olympics and Paralympics. And I'm glad they have. As a swimmer, you know, I haven't trained right now for about 80 days since everything happened here in Baltimore and the pool shut down. But yeah, aiming for my fifth Paralympics.
You have a deep story with lots of layers and lots of development in that. And I'd like to start at the beginning so people can kind of hear where everything started. So you were adopted. How old were you when you found out that you were adopted?
So I always knew that I was adopted. I think my parents did an amazing job with just being very transparent from the beginning. But my story, actually, it starts all the way in Siberia, Russia, or Kutsk, Russia. I was put up for adoption by a 16-year-old Russian girl. And due to just a birth defect, she just couldn't take care of me. She was 16 years old. She made a really tough decision, but I'm so glad she decided to give me up and put me in one of the local Russian orphanages. And during this time, there was an American couple here in Baltimore, Steve and Beth Long, who had two children, couldn't have any more. And they tried, they think what the doctors told them, it was second infertility. But they tried for about 10, 11, 12 years before they really just decided on adoption. So they saw a picture of me and another little boy in a Russian orphanage and just knew that we were the children that God wanted them to adopt. I remember asking my mom that even from a young age, I was always curious. I always had questions, I was always asking the same question too. I kept, I want to know, I want to understand. My parents were awesome with just explaining, you know, your birth mom was so young, she put you up, we got to get you, you're ours, we love you. And my dad, Steve, actually, he went to Russia in 1993 to get us. So he brought us home. And it's amazing how everything works out, because a few years later after we were adopted, they had a little girl, which was a miracle baby. She came on my parents' anniversary of all days. Then they had another little girl a couple years after that. So six kids, four girls, two boys. We were that homeschooled, crazy family. My parents, they always did an amazing job. Just, you know, they taught me that, you know, it was part of God's plan. And it was, you know, you were so special and we get you in our family. And even though at times I didn't always understand it, they did an amazing job being upfront and sharing that we're so thankful. You're part of our family.
So did that change the way you view like welcoming people into your family then?
I think it was really hard. You know, I think being born different, you know, I was born without my legs. I was born with something called fibular hemimelia. And for those who don't know, basically means I was missing the bones in my lower legs. So when my prosthetic legs are off right now, I just walk on my knees. I have a little bit of my nub is what we call it, but I can walk on my knees and it's almost like your foot is backward. But I think there are moments it was really tough. You know, I think adoption is so beautiful and it's so wonderful. And I love being adopted, right? I am so grateful. But at the same time, it can be really tough because the last thing I wanted to do was talk about it with my mom, Beth, here in the United States and feel sad that my birth mom gave me up. The last thing I would want to do is make her sad. But there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of just comprehending why I was given up, first of all, like abandonment. I know that was a big thing. I felt frustration, anger. And on top of all of that, I don't know how many people realize, but I had revision surgery every time I grew. So I just feel like I was always in a constant state of pain. You know, my legs hurt all the time. Every time I grew, I had to get a surgery. And it was really hard for my parents in Baltimore, here in the US, to just, you know, they did the best that they could explaining it, but I was a very stubborn child. And I don't know, there were times I just didn't like it. You know, I didn't want to be the girl with no legs. And I had to really learn and adapt and grow up pretty quickly, I would say.
Do you have a moment that you remember realizing that you're different?
I don't know if there's one specific moment that stuck out. I think I knew I was different, and I almost felt like all of these surgeries I was getting, because every time I grew again, the surgeries, I would get my right leg done and then I had to get the left leg done. And then once that leg was done, I was back to the right leg. What I was born with, fibrohemimelia, it's almost like the bone becomes this really sharp, like if you suck a popsicle or like a tall, thin popsicle, like really pointy, is kind of what would happen to my bone and my legs. They would get really, really pointy and then they would curve. So I think from those surgeries, I knew I was different. I knew that I was adopted. I knew, you know, I'm the blonde in my family. I clearly stand out. It was just really hard. I didn't just want to be the girl with no legs. You know, again, I knew I was the girl with no legs. But a lot of my childhood, I don't really think I remember a lot of it because I was going through these painful surgeries. And again, no one could tell me why. Everyone could tell me that I was special and got part of God's plan. But here I was, a little six-year-old going in for an adult-like surgery. And then I had to overcome obstacles over and over again. You know, it wasn't one time. It was, I think I've had about 25 surgeries. And that's just really hard to explain to a kid that you're special and you're different. And I think my parents did an amazing job raising us. But there were moments that I just was still angry. I was really frustrated. I didn't like it. You know, who wants to be the one that's different? But now that I've gotten older, I can see that it truly was part of God's plan. So my parents are right, of course.
So growing up versus now, not seeing the whole picture when you were a kid, did that change the way you viewed God?
I think I was really angry at God. Actually, I know I was angry at God. Anger was always a really comfortable emotion for me as a child. I think it was a way to cope. It was easier than being too attached. I mean, I think adoption's huge. Right now, in fact, like I'm currently in therapy. I talked to someone about it. And, you know, kind of what we're learning is adoption is such a beautiful and wonderful thing for the family that is getting the kid. But that's not exactly the family that, you know, I would have ever chose. And that's been a really hard conversation to have with my mom. And bless her heart, she sits there and she listens, and it's a way to get out all these crazy feelings. But, you know, adoption is tough. And to feel, you know, there are moments I felt really abandoned and really, really forgotten by God. Even my siblings, you know, church was a normal thing. We went to church. We were that homeschool Christian family. We studied the Bible as one of our subjects. And I think I just, you know, all I ever was told as a kid is that God had made me this way. God made you without legs. You're special. You have a story. Well, when you're 7, 11 years old, 13 years old, and you're still going in for these surgeries that are so painful, it's a little hard to be like, oh, okay, God made me this way. Cool. Like, you just don't really understand. And I think I had a hard time comprehending a lot of things. I had a hard time comprehending my adoption, and I had a hard time comprehending my birthday. I'm born on leap year, so I have a birthday every 4 years. I had a hard time comprehending my legs. So it was just kind of a running theme in my life. I just had a hard time understanding God, and I was really angry. And there were moments throughout my life that I just didn't want anything to do with him. But again, I was in this family that we went to church, we showed up, God was everywhere.
I'm distracted by the birthday thing.
Like as a little 12-year-old, I remember trying to figure that out, right? Like they were like, you're really 3 years old. And I was like, what? And there was just a moment that I remember thinking like, I'm adopted. I don't have legs. And now I don't get a birthday every year. But also it was a time that you want your birth mom to think of you, right? Like I remember thinking, okay, this is the one day that my birth mom, Natalia is her name in Russia, is the one day that she can't forget me. You don't just forget a child that you gave birth to. But on the calendar, it skips me. It skips February 29th. It doesn't even exist. So I think for a long time, just like the calendar would portray, I just felt non-existent, right? I didn't feel like I mattered. I didn't feel enough. That's a big thing I felt. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people feel that, and you can feel it in different ways. But for me, my story, my life, I really felt different from the beginning.
So what's helped you kind of start moving away from that sort of thinking?
Yeah, well, it's super cool. I would say that God really worked in my life. You know, God was everywhere. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in a Christian household. And I totally understand that that's not the case for everyone. But there was just this relentless pulling, this relentless love from God. Even though I was frustrated with him, like, there's still, even to this day, like, I'm still passionate, I'm still determined. But to know that God wants all of me, you know, God wants all of us. He wants our good days, our bad days, our Wednesdays. He doesn't just want our Sunday best. And I think from an early age, you know, just the fact that my parents had God always around and that, you know, maybe I didn't understand it then, but it was still like the seed was planted. And I didn't become a Christian until I was about 20, 21. When I was living in a different state, I was living on my own. I was kind of like, it was my decision, you know, that, and that is one thing my parents did a really good job of. It was always my decision. It was always my faith. God was never forced on us. It was, you know, hey, you live under our house, you know, you're going to do what we, these are our rules. But until you're really out of that comfort zone, that's when it really became my faith. And I realized that God wanted all of me, right? It's so easy to give God parts of ourselves, parts of our heart. And the moment that I actually gave him my heart and became a Christian, it was, you know, I had been going to a Bible study, a young adult group for about 3 years. I was all alone, right? I was in Colorado Springs, thousands of miles away from my family. And it became my decision. It was my job to show up and listen and learn God's word and the gospel. And it was just an amazing moment when I just decided to give him my whole heart. And I think that's the key, is really giving him all of you and not just bits and pieces and just letting him into your heart.
It's like, it's almost scary. Like, that sounds bad, because that's a very vulnerable spot to be in, especially if you carry stories of pain and confusion and all of that. To be able to say, I trust you now, is a beautiful but terrifying moment.
I think control, right? I think we're so used to having control over so many different parts of our lives. And I think as a little girl having these insane surgeries, these revision surgeries, I think I always felt like I was in control of my life. And it really hit me hard when I realized, oh my gosh, like, you were never really in control. But that's the thing, like, there's such a beauty in that. And I think such a power in just giving God all of you, right? I think there's just like, he's always been there. He wants to take all of your pain, all of the good days, everything. He wants all of it. And in that moment when I really did give him my heart, you know, it was a moment that I did feel enough. I gave, like, it was almost like I was squeezing my hands or my hands into fists so tight. And I just got so tired of just like squeezing and holding on. And it was this moment where I just was like, you don't have to hold on so tight. You don't have to squeeze so tight. You can just release and just give it to God. It was such a beautiful moment. But again, it's like, it has to be your moment. You know what I mean? Like, no one can force it on you. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful, is that God has always allowed it to be our decision to follow him.
And that's freeing. It's freeing. You can breathe.
Yeah.
So for swimming, how did you get into swimming?
Swimming, that was such an amazing way that came about. Before swimming, I actually did gymnastics. And when my legs are off, I do gymnastics on my knees. I just get a little shorter, did the backflips, the cartwheels, everything on my knees. And I did it for about 6 years. But over time, with the jumping off the balance beam, the cartwheels, the flips, my parents were really afraid that I would damage my knees. And since I walk on my knees and everything, you know, with the way that I walk on my prosthetics, they were really afraid that I would not be able to wear prosthetics one day. That's what the doctors were telling them. She can't walk on her knees. She needs to wear her prosthetics. And I did not like my prosthetics back then. They were so uncomfortable. They were basically like really heavy. They're heavy. Even now they're about 7 pounds each. I just didn't like them. So they sat me down and they basically gave me an ultimatum. They said I could continue gymnastics, but I had to wear my prosthetics, and I did not like that idea. So we decided to find a new sport, and swimming was perfect. In swimming, you're not allowed to wear any form of prosthetic in the Paralympics. It felt right. I showed up to my first swim practice when I was 10 years old. I took off my two heavy prosthetics and I walked over to the swim team, and I was the only girl missing legs. And I jumped in and I was nervous. I was scared. And, you know, I just wanted to be a part of a team. I wanted to be treated like a friend. And when I joined the swim team, they treated me like a friend and a competitor. And then I started beating the girls with legs. And that's when I just realized, okay, I'm pretty good at this. It was exciting.
That's always a good feeling. Just like knowing that you're good at something.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's obviously that's part of my story, right? I can't change my story, but that kind of taught me that, like, oh, I could earn love, right? I could earn respect. I could earn being enough or being the best on the team. And that has been something I've really battled my entire life, you know, my swimming career. And up until the point I gave Christ my heart at 21, I want to say it was more 21. But yeah, it's that feeling of feeling like I belong. And it's great, right? It can be great. But sometimes if you think about it, you know, for the wrong reasons, it can also be really tough.
So you went from feeling not enough and feeling abandoned to feeling like your swimming achievements were making you enough.
Yes, well, I somehow made the Paralympic team 2 years after swimming. And for those who don't know, the Paralympics is amazing. It's basically, it's the Olympics for people with physical disabilities. And the word para in Paralympics means just parallel to the Olympic Games. So we compete 2 weeks after the Olympics. We go and gold, silver, and bronze is awarded just like the Olympics. We get all the same uniforming. And it really, it's just, it's the Olympics for us who have different types of challenges. And here I was, a little 12-year-old, and I somehow ended up making the Athens team, the 2004 Athens team. It was incredible. My parents, they were preparing me to make the team when I was 16. But again, I was just really stubborn, and I was just like, nope, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And I surprised them all, and somehow I made the Paralympic team. I went and won 3 gold medals. You know, it was me and the world record holder from Israel, and she was like, I think, late 20s or early 30s. And I just remember I was 15 meters out of the pool from touching, and I just said to myself, I did not come here to get second. And we touched the wall so close, you had to look at the scoreboard. But that really set the bar high, right? You know, a little girl from Russia, adopted, winning gold medals, getting sponsorships, all these worldly things, it really messes with you. You start to believe that that's where your worth is. That's where your worth lies. And I really struggled with that for years.
So did you feel safe in that identity, or were you constantly having to fight to keep it up?
You know, I'm sure safety, I think that was part of it, but I also felt like it was a way to prove to my birth mom, like, I was enough. Like, you didn't have to give me up. Like, I was going to do something great. I'm really good at this. And I think as a little girl, that's what I used to think. Like, I would think, like, see, like, you shouldn't have given me up. Like, I'm doing all these amazing things. I'm winning gold medals. Like, you're lost, kind of thing. But it hurt. You know, every time when you're winning and you have success. And at one point I had, I think, 18 world record breaking performances, and my life was swimming, right? It became my identity. It became my God. It was everything I wanted to do. I didn't want to do anything else. I just wanted to swim. But also too, I think swimming is a way to, like, get out some physical pain, heart pain. You know, I think we all have some things that hurt us, and it's easy to self-medicate, and we all self-medicate in different ways, whether it's music or journaling or just a way to escape. And for me, swimming was a way to escape. It was a way to get out my energy. So when I got home from swim practice, I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to think about the adoption. I didn't have to think about the pain that it brought. I just knew that I was good, and I got good really fast. And then when I got a Nike deal, and then I was winning awards, and I was on the red carpet with celebrities, it was just like, oh, okay, like, this is it. Like, I'm doing it. Like, I've made it. But I still felt really empty.
Did you have any other things that helped that you used to fill that emptiness, or is that kind of how God brought you back to Him?
I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people could chime in on this, but we're so good at doing everything we need to do, but what we need to do, like going to God. I love cleaning. I think that's a way to be in control. I think there were so many moments in my life that I didn't feel in control. You know, even though I was, like, I would say that I was in control at times, I couldn't control if my body gave out and I had to get another surgery. I was good at swimming, and I could control my performance, right? Performance is huge. My performance comes from a sport, but, you know, what about a work performance or a performance in school or a grade? You know, I think there's so many things that it's easy to get caught up in that performance and that need to control our environment, our worldly, just everything that we all face, right? As a little girl, it became swimming. I swam all the time. And then if it wasn't swimming, I was home cleaning and just making everything seem put together. And again, I do think it was a little bit of just the surgeries and how hard they were. And I think I just needed a feeling of control in my life, because it just, things were so, so out of control at times.
You say you were 21 when you really had that moment and you had been doing Bible study and stuff. Was it just you had been going through life normally and then one day it clicked, or was there kind of a series of events that God finally opened your heart?
That's a really good question. I think there was just so many series. You know, I was breaking world records. I had commercials. I was on a red carpet with some really cool celebrities. And I was always working. I met every goal that I ever set for myself, right? I think these earthly goals, you can reach them with persistence and consistency and determination. It's not always that hard. We are so capable and strong. And I do realize that God was by my side. But I think I got to a point that I just couldn't do it on my own. I think I was just tired. You know, I was tired of feeling empty after winning a gold medal or breaking a world record, or it just was empty. And it's so funny because for so long, it did fulfill me. I think winning gold medals is a very tangible thing you can hold, but it really left me feeling empty and sad. And during this time, you know, I was questioning myself, my identity, you know, who I was, what did I look like? Did I look like my birth mom? And right before the 2012 Paralympics, I got the word that a Russian reporter went and found my biological family for me in Russia. And this all came at a really interesting time because this was 2012. I had just finished the Paralympics. I'd won 5 gold medals. I had 7 major sponsors. I was on Visa billboards, Visa credit cards, Coca-Cola. You know, it was so many fun worldly things. Elle magazine did a shoot. I mean, there were so many cool things. And it all came crashing down, right? You can't prepare for like finding out that your birth mom married your birth father and you have 3 children. It hit me pretty hard. And I think that whole year, you know, I was still living in Colorado Springs. It was still my decision to go to church, and I showed up, and I mean, God was working my heart, right? God, it takes time. God was there and I was fighting God. God was always there, but I was the one fighting God. But there was just one summer night that I had been going to this church for about 3 years. That's how long it took. That's how stubborn I can be. And I just remember thinking, I want to give God my whole heart. I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to question it. And I come from a family of Christians. My dad has 5 siblings, tons of cousins. Every holiday we would pray. I mean, God's always been around in my life, but it was the first time it was truly my decision. And I walked up, you know, I did the sinner's prayer. Even though I'd done the sinner's prayer a lot of times, I think I just always did it out of fear. Like, I didn't want to go to hell. I was like, oh, I'll just do it. I wasn't living for Christ. You know, I wasn't really giving him my whole heart. So I just went up there. I prayed. I remember feeling weight lifted off my shoulders. And I think it was June 27th. I was in Colorado. I called my sister up, the miracle baby. And I just cried. And she is the type of person that like accepted Christ when she was 4 years old. But it was just like, Hannah, I'm part of the family. Like, I'm truly part of God's family. And no longer like, do I have to wonder? I'm just a part of it.
So you got officially adopted, or your heart finally accepted the adoption into God's family the year you met your birth family?
Yeah. So cool timing, right? So a couple, like 6 months later, so I had word. So I let it, like, it marinated for a while. And so that happened like summer. I was still living in Colorado. Then I moved home back to Baltimore in September. And then that December, NBC asked if they could follow my journey back to Russia to meet my birth family. So it was cool that God was somewhat preparing my heart to meet my birth family. I don't even know what I would have done if I wasn't, you know, if I didn't have God to rely on. And I was a new Christian, even though, and see, that's the thing. You show up to church, everyone thinks you're a Christian. No one really knows your struggles. And I was a part of a church that just, oh, you're the girl with no legs. You're so inspiring. Your faith is amazing. You're such an inspiration. And I'd be like, if you only knew the label that you're giving me, this identity, the way that you're viewing me, like, I'm struggling. But I didn't always know how to say that. You don't always want to break the expectations that people have of you. And I really struggle with that. So long story short, yes, it was amazing. God's timing was perfect. And I ended up meeting my birth family about 6 months after I became a Christian, like a real Christian.
Did meeting your birth family, did that bring back all the pain that you had as a kid, or did it help heal some of that?
Yeah, another good question. I really struggled leading up to the trip. In fact, I don't remember much of it. I had just joined a new swim team. I was probably swimming about 60 miles in 6 days, which is a lot of swimming. And I was just numbing myself. Again, I mean, silly things. Like, this might not be significant to anyone else. I went to Russia without having my nails done. I didn't even think about the outfit I would be in with my birth mom on camera. Like, I just, silly stuff. Like, we didn't pack snacks. I ended up bringing my sister. My little sister, Hannah, came with me. I love getting my nails done. I think it's because I don't have toenails. But I love getting my nails done. And I always had a bad habit of biting my nails. So I look back and I think it was all over. That's like the thing that sticks out is like, you didn't get your nails done? Like, what were you thinking? I was just so out of it. I don't think anything can prepare you for that moment. All of my life, I wanted to know what I look like. My mom, friends, family would just be like, well, just look in the mirror. Like, that's what you look like. And, you know, that's when I think the devil, like Satan, it was really tough, right? I was regretting my decision. I was not really sure why I decided to go to Russia. I was just... was really struggling. And it wasn't until I really met her that I truly realized that, like, okay, if God can forgive me, how can I not forgive my birth mom? You know, what would I have done? She was 16, you know, 16 years old. She was a baby. Like, she was so young. And to have a little disabled baby, I mean, I think she made the toughest decision. I think she made a really amazing decision. And, you know, we had three translators with us, and come to find out, she was planning to adopt me back when I was 3 years old. So she was going to eventually come and get me, but that's always a little hard. And in Russia, there's a lot of little things, but it was hard. But at the same time, I truly did feel forgiveness. And there was a moment when I hugged her, and I just remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, this is my mom. Like, it was wild. I don't even know, like, if I remember it really. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. But at the same time, I'm so glad I did it.
Do you still have contact with her?
I do. So there was just a period that we didn't talk, but we talk. And my sister, Anastasia, because I have three siblings, she had a little girl, and we're Instagram friends, and I get to see my little Russian niece, which is just so crazy. But yeah, it's hard. You know, I still think it's a slow process. That's why, I have a therapist, and she was in the process of adopting from Russia as well before we started talking. But even that's such a God thing, right? Like, just to have this connection and communication with a similar story to talk about.
So you've had the highs of multi-sponsorship and red carpet and all of that. You've had the lows of feeling empty and feeling abandoned, feeling not enough. And now that you've lived through that and you're on kind of not the other side, because you still have lots of things that God can do, but like, now that you can kind of look back, do you feel like God is faithful?
He never left my side. When I was in it, in the motions, going through it all, I just remember thinking, I'm doing this by myself. But at the same time, I do remember calling God and having this peace at moments right before I was about to go under anesthesia. Or even now when I have this leg pain that it just hurts. And I just feel like he may not be able to always take it away when I need it, when I think I need it, but he's always by my side. And I do think God's faithful. I might not be always faithful, but God is always faithful. But that's the amazing thing, right? Like, even if I go through a tough season, even if we all go through a tough season where maybe we're struggling and we don't, like, even right now, right? Everything that's happening right now, God, I mean, literally everything has been taken away from us. My swimming, churches, I mean, that's crazy. Spending time with people. I mean, this has been a time for me to really call on to God. I fought it, right? The first couple weeks of quarantine, I cleaned, I painted, I just tried to stay busy. But that's the thing about God. He's always waiting. He's always ready for you to just come and talk to him. And he just wants to be there for you. He loves you. And that's something that has really helped me in times when I don't always understand God's plan. But he's always faithful. I definitely know that I'm not always faithful at times.
It's cool when I hear your story because, well, obviously the events are not the same. So much of what you go through, what you went through, it resonates in my life of the, especially the control. I'm the kind of person that I can make things happen, and I can juggle a bunch of things at once, and I can make things look good and stuff like that. But this quarantine for me has been God taking everything out, or to the point where I tried to do it all and I broke down because I couldn't do it anymore. So I think it's really cool that your story can kind of resonate with so many people.
I think everyone has such a unique story, right? We all, if we just sit down and we listen, and I think in today's world, it's so easy to be distracted, but we'd be really surprised. Every single person has a story. And maybe some people had to go through a crazier journey, or at some point you didn't feel pain or that you weren't enough. I think a lot of people would say that they felt, you know, they went through obstacles or trials. But the really cool thing is that even through all of this, or even through these moments of quarantine and feeling confused or alone or just, you know, God, what's happening? Like, what, where we just question God? You know, I think we're human. And I think God understands that it's okay to question him. And that, I think in some way, just that helps me, just feeling that, you know, God is still always there. And again, I know I said this a lot, but he wants all of us, whether that's when, at times when we doubt him, at times when we challenge him, at times when we don't understand him, at times when we praise him, at times when we love him, just that he wants all of us.
I think that is a perfect way to segue into the verse that you picked. You picked Psalm 46:5, and explain the significance of that verse to you.
I've always loved this verse. One of my really good friends showed it to me, I want to say like over 7 years ago. Psalms 46:5, it is, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And I think for me, this verse really, I don't know, you know, definitely within my life, the fact that God is within her, God has always been within my life, right? God has always been in my heart. He's always been there through every surgery, every time I felt down, every time I felt pain, confusion, doubt, abandonment, sadness, every low emotion, God has always been there with me. The other part is, she will not fall. Meaning like, well, even though sometimes I do fall, God is always there to pick me up, right? He's there to pick you up. And in those moments where you don't know where you're going to find the strength, or you don't know how you're going to stand up. And I think I feel that with my prosthetics, right? I'm missing two legs. God is always going to help me. And that's the next part, right? God will help her at break of day. So no matter what I'm feeling, no matter the day that I've had, the pain that I've felt, by the break of day, by the next day, God will help me. God's going to be there. And I mean, my legs hurt a lot, and that's maybe a good reminder that I need God. But yeah, I just love that God will help her at break of day. God will always help me. He's always there for me. And this verse has always given me strength. I don't know. I think it's a really specific verse towards my life, just with God is within her. God will, you know, she will not fall. I don't know. I've always loved it.
So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about your story, for being vulnerable and being willing to share those parts that you may not want to share. But by what you shared, it blessed me, because it made me realize, hey, I'm not the only one that fights these battles, these inward battles. I'm not any less because I have to look deeper in, or just because I'm not always feeling like I'm enough, that God still wants all of me. I love that. I'm going to use that as kind of a mantra, I think, for that. So thank you for taking some time and talking with us about it.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, I definitely think the more we all open up and just share struggles, that we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to have it all together. And that's really hard, right? It's easy to portray our absolute best on Instagram, on Facebook, on social media. But the realness and the rawness of just, hey, I'm having a hard time and I'm not really sure why God's putting me through this. Those are some of the best conversations I've ever had with friends, and it goes a long way.
Psalm 46:5, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day.
This has been episode 55 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled From Empty to Adopted with Paralympic swimmer Jessica Long. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/55. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.